The words of God given to us today are Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. It is page 43 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Our church observes the liturgical year that commemorates the history of redemption, which was completed through Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. The liturgical year begins with Advent, a four-week season of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the Nativity of Jesus and his return. This year, Advent begins on the first Sunday of December. The key words of Advent can be summarized as waiting, preparation, and being awake. The parable of the 10 virgins, which can be associated with these key words, was a message that Jesus gave 3 days before he suffered on the cross. The parable is not recorded in the books of Mark or Luke, but only in the book of Matthew, and is intended to teach that preparations need to be made to meet the second coming of Christ. Today's passage tells us that when our lives come to an end, heaven will be like the parable of the 10 virgins. Let me summarize today's passage. There were 10 virgins. They were maids waiting for the groom at the wedding banquet. They were all carrying lamps, and among them, 5 also prepared extra oil. Because the groom took his time coming, they were all dozing off, but then they heard the groom was on his way. They had to greet the groom with their lamps, but the 5 virgins who did not have enough oil had to go and buy some, and only those who prepared extra oil were able to greet the groom. When I was in elementary school, there was a time when I read the Bible to help my mother's church group earn Bible reading points. Although I was focused on reading as much as I could, I remember when I came across this passage, feeling sorry for the 5 virgins who would have felt despair in front of the door closed on them. This feeling toward the 5 of the 10 that were unable to go to the banquet helped me greatly with my faith. This is because of the realization that this could happen to me when the time comes. And it made me think about the present instead of being proud of my faith of the past. Matthew chapter 24 also speaks of the apocalypse. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44, also taught me at a young age how to live my life as a Christian. I remember singing a hymn with lyrics made from these verses. These are the lyrics. Am I ready to meet Jesus? Have I been reborn through the blood of Jesus? Have my clothes become whiter than snow? Am I ready to meet Jesus? There were two people who ground grains in a millstone and two who slept. One person went and one person remained. Am I ready to meet Jesus? The lyrics of the hymn I sang in Sunday school posed as good questions for myself. They told that at Jesus' second coming, he will take one of the two people who are in the field and that one person will remain. And take one of the two people who are grinding grain in a millstone and leave the other here. The lyrics told me that I wouldn't be given a second chance if Jesus came and said he didn't know me, even if I led a life of faith. It was the custom of Jews at the time when they got married for the groom to drop by the bride's house and carry out a religious ceremony and then take the bride with him to the groom's house for the wedding banquet. According to the customs of the time, weddings usually began after the sun went down, and the bridesmaids carried 10 lamps. The Jews considered the number 10 as a complete and ideal number. So at the time, official meetings at the synagogues were not held if 10 people were not present. In verse 2, Jesus divided the 10 virgins who went out to meet the groom as 5 foolish and 5 wise. But the word foolish in Greek, moros, is an adjective that describes a state of being indiscreet without ability to predict or lacking wisdom. The word phronosis, that has been translated to wise, is an adjective that describes a state of being prudent, thoughtful, and discerning. However, the Greek word for the verb being in verse 2 describes repeated circumstances in imperfect past tense. This means that the 10 virgins who went to meet the groom were not only foolish or wise that night, but that the personal tendencies of the 10 virgins had always been like that. So for the 5 who were always foolish, their tendencies and habits were naturally displayed that night. And the other 5, who were always insightful, thoughtful, and prudent, were able to meet the groom due to their attitudes in life. The circumstances they were in were the same. They did not know when the groom would show up. Waiting without knowing about the timing is hard. There's a big difference of knowing and not knowing the timing. If you know it, you'll probably not loosen up. But when you do not know the timing, it's likely that you will. This is proven by the fact that both the wise and the foolish virgins dozed off and fell asleep. If they knew exactly when the groom would come, they would not have been dozing off and falling asleep. We know from our experiences in life how difficult it is to wait for something that you do not know when it will happen, such as finding a job, getting married, giving birth, or recovering from an illness. Noah, who lived in an era filled with atrocities, waited for God's order to go into his ark. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 records Noah, who obeyed to waiting as the following. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. People at the time did not know that the ark that Noah built would actually serve as an ark. However, Noah, who lived a life obeying to God's words, obeyed God, as he always did, and built the ark and waited for the rain. At the end of his waiting was God's work, and God closed the doors of the ark. Verses 3 to 4 of today's passage shows on what grounds the 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins were divided. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. In order to light a lamp, we need both a lamp and oil. The five foolish people were always short of preparations, but the five wise ones prepared extra oil according to their nature. In today's parable, if one were to compare the lamps that all of the 10 virgins prepared to each and everyone's identity, we could compare the oil that the five wise virgins prepared as appropriate lives according to their identities. If one were to apply this to our lives, lives that are appropriate to our identities as Christians, volunteers, pastors, and missionaries, would be like the oil. Nominal Christians, volunteers void of true service, pastors that only outwardly appear holy, missionaries who do not live true to their mission will be no different from the five foolish people who did not prepare their oil. Even if one attended Sunday service every week in a holy manner, even if one is volunteering at church every day of the week, even if one is giving large amounts of offerings, if one does not obey to God's words, and if there is no love for God and one's neighbors, then one would be no different from the five foolish people. Finally, the 10 people who were dozing off were told that the groom was on his way. The five whose lamps were on the verge of burning out asked for the other five to share their oil. But there is a way that cannot be taken without paying the cost, by simply borrowing oil. Before the time comes when one cannot borrow someone else's oil, we must discern how we are living. We need to make efforts to consciously and willingly examine how we are living. Are there husbands or wives that believe they're okay because they have a devout spouse despite their lamps burning out? Are there people who think they're okay because they're members of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church despite their lamps burning out? Are there people who are satisfied by attending church despite having no holiness? Are there people who think they are okay because in the past they prayed a lot, diligently read the Bible, volunteered at church, and took part in all of the church's programs? Are there people who are showing off only their fancy lamps? The conclusion of the five wise and five foolish people was not based on temporary preparations, but on the lives they lived up until then. When God appraises us, we must remember that He will look at our present selves and not ourselves of the past. When the five foolish people arrived after getting the oil they needed and asked for the closed door to be opened for them, this is what they heard. Verse 12 says, He replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." We're unable to know how the women were selected as maids. However, the five that did not prepare extra oil were unable to serve their roles as maids. They finally had to hear from their master that he did not know them. And while they took part in the long wait, they were unable to go to the banquet. The Lord continues to speak to them. Verse 13 says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Being awake does not simply mean not sleeping. What should we seek in vigilance in a life that offers no practice or repetition? It is the wisdom to discern God's time, which we do not know and are unable to know. People live with certainty that their thoughts and actions are right. But the truly wise are those who live discerning God's time and live a life that is appropriate of their identity. The wisdom that God has promised us is a necessity of Christians' lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 tells, "There is a time for everything." Verses 1 through 11 say, "There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." The author states that God created everything and made everything beautiful according to his time, and that he gave to people a longing for eternity. But the author says God has made it unfathomable for people what he has done from beginning to end. Living as a Christian is living a life of vigilance. In order to greet the groom who arrives at a time no one knows, one needs to keep awake. We need to be awake in order to accept death that may come upon us at an unknown time point. Therefore, we need wisdom to discern. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 said, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. So we will be with the Lord forever." The Apostle Paul, whose life changed after meeting Jesus, who was resurrected from the dead, lived the rest of his life preaching the gospel, even in circumstances of persecution and threats of death. Presented as grounds of his hope, meeting the Lord and being with him for eternity. Hope is important. If you do not have hope in your life, you can become lethargic. In your family, at work, and in your life of faith, if you lose hope, we would not have the motives to move forward. Even if we have hope, we easily become frustrated and deviate. We unknowingly start drifting away from the true goals of our lives. This is because we are incomplete, weak beings. Even the wise people falling asleep in the passage today show our weaknesses. We try to go toward our ideals and goals with the weaknesses and limits that we have. We could fall on our way or doze off. Still, when you make an effort to prepare oil and work to prepare good oil, then we will be able to joyfully greet the groom who will come at an unknown time point. In other words, when we live lives that are appropriate according to our identities, we will be able to go to the wedding banquet and meet God. Keeping awake is not simply not sleeping. Keeping awake is a matter of our inner selves. It is keeping a relationship with God and making our hearts and minds clear and living in consciousness of every moment we breathe. It is not mindlessly living the way everyone else lives, but living in consciousness of every moment. It is examining each and every one of our moves, our hearts and thoughts, and listening to God's words and living like His children. There have been many clinical experiments of playing music to plants and animals. Among the various experiments, there was one in which beans were divided into four groups and different music was played to the beans under the same circumstances. The first group of beans was injected with drugs. The second group of beans was exposed to loud pop music. No music was played for the third group. And the last group of beans was exposed to quiet music. The results after 3 weeks were the following. The first group of beans, which was injected with drugs, grew 18 centimeters in 3 weeks, and their roots were small and weak. The beans that were exposed to loud pop music grew 23 centimeters, and their roots were of medium size. But interestingly, the stem of the beans were bent over toward the opposite side of the speakers, while the roots were straight. The third group of beans that were left to grow without any external factors of influence grew a straight 28 centimeters, and their roots were long. The last group of beans that were played quiet music grew the fastest, growing 31 centimeters. Both its roots and stem grew well, but surprising was the fact that the stems of the beans were facing the speaker. Like the second and fourth group of beans, there are things that our souls like and things that they do not like. Vigilant Christians are the group that chooses what God and our souls would like and what God and our souls would be happy about. The group of vigilant Christians are people who live lives that are appropriate as Christians by making ourselves obey God's words. The motto of our church this year is, I will plant with all my heart and soul. By being our Heavenly Father for the past 9 months, God established our families, our church and other churches, our country and the global community. The Lord is faithfully keeping His promise to plant with all His heart and soul. To our Lord's sincerity, our response should be examining which group we belong to. When we make worshiping God our lives and our lives places of worship, this would be the best form of preparation. If my life up until yesterday were to be summarized as shame, we'll be able to make the appropriate preparations to go to the wedding banquet starting today. From ourselves beginning new lives, our children and our children of Sunday school will live lives appropriate as true Christians until the second coming of Jesus. Let us pray. God, thank you for calling us to be Christians and your children. Thank you for allowing us to examine ourselves to see whether we have satisfied with the fact that you have called us, not sought your wisdom and not discerned your time, and not lived awake. We know well that being awake is not about being involved in the church. We examine ourselves to see whether we're putting off preparing oil to enter the wedding banquet. Do not let us run out to buy oil when we hear that the groom we waited for is on his way. God, who has allowed each and every one of us lives without practice and repetition, thank you for letting us know that no one else can be responsible for our eternal lives, as we cannot decide our birth and death. Let us remember the fact that the Lord's words that we should keep awake as we do not know the day or the hour also applies to us. And allow the grace of being awake be within the community of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church as each of us live this year in the spheres of our lives where you have planted us with all your heart and soul. Allow us the grace to make worshiping you our lives and our lives places of worship as Christians, and let our children follow the examples we set. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.